That's fine.
Okay, so now, yes, we manage some folks.
All right. Thank you. Also, sorry for the switch up. I had a demo prepared that I wanted to show really live. There is a emergency solution, so I will show the slides. Anyways, I better get started. Thank you for your interest in a simple thing like SSH logins. I did not expect this, but yeah, let's get started. So just a brief few words for the motivation, where I'm coming from and why I'm doing this. We are providing, I'm working at a research campus, imagine a university-like environment really. We provide compute infrastructure and compute resources to researchers and scientists. This is a rather large number of users. They basically log into a batch compute system. As far as we are concerned for this talk, it's a bunch of Linux servers, and I need to authenticate them securely. So how can we do this? Probably you've followed many talks of this track. Two obvious things are certificates and tokens. Because of certain properties, they have, like, for example, a limited validity period, which are way better than other things like a password, for example, or also, as many of you probably know, public keys with SSH. Just a brief question to see who I'm talking to. Can you raise your hand if you're using SSH certificates for logging in? Okay, that's quite a few. And are you also, as a sysadmin, deploying SSH servers with this kind of setup? Okay, still. Okay, all right. So then maybe a few new aspects, I hope, are still there for you as well. But let's get started. So I can basically skip this. This would have been my demo lab. Unfortunately, a bunch of containers. We could see interactively all the things. Now, please close your eyes for a brief moment for the conclusion. Okay, thank you. And slides of last resort. So this is where we are. I wanted to get it going with logging in by password. Everybody knows this, really. The demo was set up to have a cheat sheet for myself so I could copy the commands. And then underneath, you see what was happening. But basically, you SSH to the machine, right? Then you get initially the question, do you trust this host, whatever that means. But it shows you the fingerprint of the host, so you can cryptographically more or less identify the host. And typically, you would write this to a known hosts file so that the next time you connect, you recognize the host. And also, you know if something is wrong, this key changes, and you know you're not connecting to the same machine. All right. So this is what I did here. And then I was demonstrating the known hosts file that lists those keys. That's pretty easy, so I skip over this. The pub key, probably many of you also know or use. I think this is, I guess, one of the most used authentication methods. So basically, if you connect with a public key, there is no password prompt. So again, we see the fingerprint, and we say, yes, we trust the host. But then there's no prompt for a password. We are logged in directly, and that's fine. How does this work? Well, you generate your public-private key pair on your client. You copy the public key to the server. Then basically, your private key is allowed to authenticate to the server. One thing that you can do in the SSH server configuration, you can see in the middle here, so basically, I've disabled the password authentication because, okay, I say I have strong authentication methods. Typically, here you would have this line, the public keys, the authorized keys file in the user's home. But you can also disable this and then use an authorized keys command. This is more or less any command that you can run. You can provide it several arguments. And here you can hear what I'm doing. I'm using KarnIDM as an identity provider to fetch the keys from my users. So in the example, you can see also I fetch the public key for the pub key user. I get a result that's literally the same string that is in the pub key file the user has in the home. And if I try it for another user, I don't get any key, so they can't connect, or a different key, and they need to have the matching private key. The nice thing about a solution like this is, of course, you can have this centralized. Oftentimes, this is done also with SSSD. You can look it up in LDAP, for example. You can use attributes in LDAP or Active Directory to store those keys. The nice thing is you don't have to distribute them. You can deny the users to bring in their own keys and then not being able to manage this. And if you know something happened with this user, you can disable it or remove the key from the central location, and in all places, the access is disabled. So far, I think these are the most common use cases or the most common methods for authentication. And next up is certificates. So for certificates, I mean, I guess many of you have already thought, like, yeah, it would be nicer and better to set up the server with certificates. For example, because they have a limited lifetime, you can do other things with certificates as well. And generally, you can use them in a way that it's less of a problem than losing the private key file on the client home directory. This might be cumbersome with the SSH, OpenSSH tools, SSH keygen. Of course, you can do it, but the actual problem that you have as an administrator is distributing the certificates, right? How do you get them to the user? There are some tools, Step SSH. It has one component, which is a certificate authority with an API, really. And you can configure it so that you can authenticate to that CA through, for example, OpenID Connect. And this is very convenient because when you do this, first of all, okay, you have to run some tool, some tool which is not an SSH client. But basically, it will do most of the work for you. It will either show you the URL or open the browser directly if you're running it locally. Get back to the process that is running here, then you have a token which you can use to get a certificate from the CA. And again, with that certificate, you can just log in without using a password. That was the initial intent. Also note here, we are not seeing any question for authenticating the host or for trusting the host. So something apparently has been done here. Maybe we have connected to it before or something else. All right. In the example here, there you can also see it's the certificate is directly added to the agent, so there's not even a file written on the host. I did a ls here on the .ssh directory, but yeah, it's added to the agent. But now I wanted to have a look what's actually in this certificate. For this reason, I do the same thing again, just not adding it to the agent but writing it to a file, and then I can use SSH keygen to look at the certificate and see what's actually the content of that. And while the public private key is more or less just an opaque string, here we have some actual information. We have a signing certificate authority, so there is a central, like this is how certificates work, right? You trust the CA that the certificates the CA produces are good. The other important thing is the validity period. So in this example, it's not exactly 24 hours, but this is something you can change for shorter or longer. For SSH, it would be fine depending on your specific use case, but if you just need to log in once, it can be 5 minutes, right? You just need to get the cert, log in, and then you don't need it anymore. The other interesting things are that you have the principles added to the certificate, which means the users basically on the server side that this certificate can authenticate as. So in this example, that's the third user, that's the local user as well. But it could also be root or some other user, for example. And there are other extensions that allow you to switch certain SSH features on and off, like agent forwarding or port forwarding. That might be interesting. All right. Yes, on the server side, this is quite easy because I just verify against the user CA. So I have the public key of the user CA, and then I can verify all the certificates without any further specific information. that's rather easy to deploy because it's just one file really, and that's it. Somewhere there I forgot why I was not asked for the host key is because for the server I can also have a certificate, and then I can do the same vice versa. On the client, I have a known hosts line that really trusts the CA for even a wildcard of servers. So I have one line to trust a bunch of machines, my whole infrastructure if needs be. And OpenPubKey SSH, that's basically also using certificates. Again, you have a tool that you will have to call to generate the certificate. In this case, you don't need an external CA. You just talk to your ID provider, get a token, and then generate a certificate locally. When we connect to the server, it really works the same as with certificates. You log in without a password. But the interesting thing is, one thing first, the validation of the certificate here happens the same as with public key authentication. So I will get into why in a moment. But basically, we are checking some meta information on the certificate and not the actual certificate, because we also are not talking to a trusted CA. So we are just using the certificate as a transport medium. And you can see here why. OPK SSH, I think this 0.12 was released last week, where they added this inspect command, which is really nice. Because I will skip over that, but you can, of course, manually also dissect the certificate with, SSH keygen and JQ and so on, decode the JSON. The JSON, which is somewhere in the extensions here. So it's a certificate, you see, but there are no principles, there's no validity period, there is no CA, there's nothing really, except this OpenPubKey extension. And this extension is actually the ID token that you got from the ID provider. And this token is what's being verified on the server side. So nobody cares about the certificate. We just look at the token and then check what's in the token to make sure to see if you can log in or not. Okay, I will not find this in the screenshots here. On the server side, you do the validation using this authorized keys command. And then config-wise, you can configure several ID providers on the server side. And you can have also a mapping file where you can map, identities from a given ID provider to local usernames. The nice thing is that you can mix and match this, and there are also additional plugins that allow you to look at other attributes of the token as well, like, for example, the groups that are in the token or other claims. All right. That would have been a nice demo, I guess, but maybe next time. I was really worried about the containers not coming together and so on, and then it's something which I thought was solved, but okay. All right, I have a quick conclusion overview, kind of. So I was saying I was looking at this for our use case of many users on many machines. And this OpenPubKey, it's really, really cool that basically you can process the whole JSON on the server and you can come up with hundreds of ideas. I think it's really cool if you need to set something up where there is no central infrastructure, where maybe you need to improvise some solution and provide access to different users. It's easy to create an app in Google or GitHub or whatever and then authenticate against that and then map your users onto the system. What I didn't show in detail was what's missing here and what the certificates provide is also the host validation. And that's actually something that is really nice. So I will decide for the certificates. I had to get over myself also to accept that you need a third-party tool in practice, really, to make this happen for end users so that it becomes usable. But that's really it for me. I will go with the certificates. But if you're interested, I can only recommend to check out the OpenPubKey. That's it. Thank you. And maybe there's still time for questions. Okay, please.
I was wondering, given your experience, how do you deal with, let's say, verbose certificates? specific is where obviously when there's an ongoing session, the next invocation, the next attempt, the CRL will be evaluated, right? So is there some solution around that to, let's say, kick the user out because you've just invalidated this?
So kicking out, no. Sorry, yes, I repeat the question. Thought about this. The question is how to handle certificate revocations or if credentials get compromised with ongoing sessions. I have no solution for ongoing sessions. I would really rely, in this case, mostly on the short lifetime of a certificate and then, yeah, for the next run. Sorry? Is there a way to do host verification with OpenPubKey? Not that I know of, because it's not using the certificate as certificate, right? It's just a transport medium, really. What I have prepared in the demo was actually SSHFP. That's DNS records that hold the fingerprints. But for that to really work, you need DNSSEC, and that's not really available in most places. In the back, please. I use Step CA if I set up my own CA. Hell no. I use Step, I mean, in kind of, because with this tool Step CA, it's really easy. Basically, it bootstraps a CA, and then you have so-called provisioners, which are ways to generate certificates and to authenticate to the CA. So there's a token-based one, which you could use, for example, during host deployment. There is one that uses OpenID Connect, which I'm using in this example. There are different ways for that.
Yeah.
That is a really hard question that I don't have an answer to.
And we don't have more time for more questions.
Okay. I'm sorry for that. I'll be then outside. Thank you.